wrapping the gifts. So, Father, we thank you for Holy Spirit. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is big inside of us and full. We're full of power. We're full of wisdom. We're full of the anointing. We're full of truth. We're full of the gifts that he's given us. And Lord, we thank you for revelation today. And we thank you for the prophetic in the name of Jesus. And Lord, just speak through me today, whatever you want to say. And Lord, let this be a time of planting good seeds inside of us so they grow and people can understand what their gifts are and start walking in them. Hallelujah. So I'm going to, before we begin about unwrapping the gifts, I want to read two prophetic prophecies that I found from 2019 that I believe are for right now. You know, when the prophets prophesy, it doesn't happen immediately, right? So we have to wait for it. I just don't know which one to give first. Let me do Chuck Pierce first. It says, God is setting a new order. There is a major shift of the heavens that is shaking us into an access for the future. The Lord says, my hand is pushing you forward with a sustained strength-filled push. There is a veil between the answer to your prayers, where I want you to be, and where you are standing. The enemy is working overtime to trick your mind into believing this veil is real and impenetrable. If you listen to him, this will block you from the place I desire you to be. Open your eyes and see beyond the part of where I want you to stand. The veil seems more real than the place I'm calling you, so become louder than the veil. Let your voice be louder. It's funny that we were singing that. And let your will be louder. If you knew that deliverance for the righteous comes when everything begins to shake, you would begin to cry out for the shaking to begin. I am the one who causes the thunder. The rumbling begins with me. It's time for you to feel the rumbling. Do not fear the rumbling. Do not fear the shaking. Because within them is your deliverance. I will shake everything down until the double comes. That warfare that has tried to surround you, detain you, stop you from advancing, cause you to say, I'm discouraged, that warfare is what I'm shaking all around you. I'll shake you up and I'll shake you down. That shaking that's been going on around you is for me to bring you into a new portion. Your ladder will be greater than your former. I will shake everything down until the double comes. I will shake your resistance down and shake you up. Though you have lost your joy in the midst of the war, I am shaking, shaking, shaking until joy can rise up again. Because you lost your strength to fight in the days ahead, I'll shake loose new joy so new strength will arise. New joy will run down over you like a river. Some have lost their childlike faith in the midst of what surrounded them. But you're going to stand and say, today is like a holiday celebration again. I am beginning to rejoice, for I am shaking new gifts loose in you. Your gifts will cause all to profit. The war around you has caused fear to enter deep within you. This caused you to step and shrink back, causing my hand of pleasure to be lifted from you. Therefore, step in, one step, two steps, three steps, move, and you will see my pleasure resting on you again. I have an act of faith for you. When you obey, the warfare will end and the curtain will tear, and you will see that I have enlarged you to prosper in a new way. Step, step, step again. I am waiting for you. Keep your eyes on me. You have so many cares around you that I am having to shake them loose. You've lost sight of what I am trying to do. I am shaking you in the midst of sorrow and distress that you have experienced. You have lost sight of the overall picture. Keep your eyes on me because there's a shout of grace that will rise again. Though the demonic has roared around you, I am a God that roars louder. If you will rise up, let the triumphant roar rise out of you and send back a roar to the enemy's camp. You will see the plunder that has been robbed from you. Roar and roar again as you go forth today. I am shaking the heavens with thunder, but that same thunder is moving in you. Let the sound of thunder of heaven rise up and cause the storm around you to be overtaken by the sound and the power that is within you. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into your heart what I have prepared for you. For in this time of shaking, I'm shaking off the blinders. Blinders that have kept you from seeing what I see. Blinders that have kept you from experiencing what I have for you. This is a time when I'm shaking off the blinders. I'm going to cause you to see from a different perspective. Come up here, because I'm going to show you what must be. I'm going to show you the plans and the purposes that I have planned for you. I will bring you out of the muck and the mire, and I will cause your feet to stand on higher ground. In that place, you will gain fresh revelation for what has tried to hinder you and what has tried to hold you in an old place. The time is now for you to come out of the old and into a new place. I'm shaking loose the blinders, and I'm positioning you in a new place. I'm positioning you far above the principalities and powers so you can see from my perspective. In that place, you will gain new vision, new strength, and new hope. Out of the old and into the new, as I shake loose the blinders. I am the God of war, and I've come to make war and to win war. You come from a place of victory. I'm shaking up things so that no namers can now come up. I'm calling up those who have a heart to fight and not quit. As with David, he was anointed king, and the Philistines came up against him. He had perpetual breakthrough. I declare that when one breakthrough comes, there's another door behind it. I am the God of perpetual breakthrough. I am the God of war, and I am undefeated on every single turn. I have come to deliver. Your shield is great, and your sword is sharp. Move forward with me. I am the God of war. Orchestrate it. And I set in place those that I need. All I need you to do is hear me and move into the rhythm. I am in the process of digging. You dig. You think the dirt has been kicked in on you, but look up from where you are with dirt piled on top of you and say, Sunday is coming, resurrection is in my bones, and my bones are shaken. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit is rotten to the bone. Today is a day that I'm bringing you from hurt to health if you will only step forward to receive. These are those days when I will amaze the world with a demonstration of power and glory that has not been seen before. Hallelujah. That was a good one. The other one I have is called The Fire and the Glory Coming from Heaven to Earth. In these days, some of the greatest moves of God will be present in our lifetime. One of those will be baptism in fire, which burns the world out of you and any desire for it. Not only will it consume you, but it changes who you think you are in Christ. You will stand in the very presence of the living God and burn with his fire, and nothing can take that out of you. This same fire from the Father will consume entire areas of the earth, and people will desire to know Christ as their Savior. A second move of God will be us carrying the knowledge of the glory, which is the power, plans in the light of God around this world. The way you live your life begins to produce glory for God, and it lives inside of you. It is epitomized by the words, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you begin to release the glory, it comes out in shock waves and impacts this world and everyone around you. wherever you are, no matter your age or your position in life, if you are a believer and you have said yes to God, you will not escape experiencing both moves of God. We will eventually become too hot for hell to handle as it flees from us. These moves of God will eventually help to bring a habitation of heaven in our own lives and create regions of light and glory wherever we live. It is our time to manifest as sons and daughters of God to impact this world with great levels of authority. We are on God's timeline now, not man's. So live like it. It is time to stop being moved by things and start moving them. Isn't that awesome? That just makes you feel, yes, give God the glory for that. Hallelujah. So like I said, I believe that those two are to help us, to prepare us, to keep us on track, keep our lamps full, like Jeannie was saying, full of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now I want to read to you the vision statement and the mission of the Father's house. Just like Jay said, you got to write the vision down so people can run with it. So the vision statement of the Father's house, it's very simple, and it's also the strategy of the church. It says, touching lives with God's glory. We are at the Father's house, Christian Fellowship, are called to be a people or a family of believers with one heart, one mind, one voice, one vision, of pursuing God's presence for revival. God's presence is his glory. As we experience the presence of the Spirit of God in our lives, we find ourselves being changed and transformed more and more into his image and likeness. Our lives are continually being touched, impacted, and changed by his glory, and we are continually touching, impacting, and changing others' lives with God's glory. Amen. That's the vision statement. Is that on the website? Okay. I thought so. Mission statement. Luke 4, 18 and 19 is our scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, or on you, because he has anointed us to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent us to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus said that we will do the works that he did, and we will also do greater works. As the Holy Spirit flows in us and through us, he enables and equips us to become the hands and the feet of Jesus on the earth today. That's the only way people are going to know the gospel, right? We are to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Raise the dead, cast out demons in his name, preach the gospel to every person, and to make disciples in all nations. So that's the vision and the mission statement of the Father's house. You guys are too quiet. Okay, so wherever we are called to be ministers and to release the Holy Spirit and the glory of God. Could be on our jobs, at the school, in our business, in our home, in the marketplace, and out in the streets, even in Boscoff's. And we've done that many times. Hallelujah. This is called natural Christianity. Always be ready and be filled up. We come here on Sunday to be filled up so we could release it during the week. The Holy Spirit anoints us with power. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we're weak, fleshly, and sickly beings. Holy Spirit anoints us with his power so we could do and be everything that God has called us to be. We are to demonstrate that Christ lives in us. We have the power to witness, heal the sick, cast out demons, disciple people, raise the dead, be good spouses, parents, and Christians. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as everyone has received the gift, even so minister the same to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. and the gift is the Holy Spirit. And also, the name of my message today is Unwrapping the Gifts from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So before I go any further, I'd like to give you a word study on gifts and grace. Gifts in the Greek is charisma, and that is where they get the word, we're charismatics. We're the gifted ones. Yay, God. We're charismatic. And that's a spiritual endowment or a miraculous faculty. The root of charisma is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, charis. In Greek, the word is grace. Grace in Greek means graciousness, divine influence upon the heart, and its reflection in the life and divine favor. Grace is usually said to be unmerited favor or divine enabling. Grace to me means when I can't do something, God comes in and does it through me, right? The grace to do is something you can't do in the flesh. So in 1 Corinthians 12:7, the grace gifts are given to profit the church. Profit here means bear together, contribute to be better for. The grace gifts are for the maturing of the church body. There are three divisions of gifts. The gifts from the Father, the gifts of the from the Son, and the gifts from the Holy Spirit. Now let's turn to Romans 12:6-8. And these are the seven gifts that the Father gives besides our natural gifts and talents. These are called motivational gifts. And they are prophecy, serving or helping, teaching, exhortation or encouragement, giving or contributing, leading, mercy or compassion. Okay, so what did I say? Romans 12:6-8. God's miraculous grace, imparts to each one of us varying gifts and ministries that are uniquely ours. So if God has given you the grace gift of prophecy, you must activate your gift by using the proportion of faith you have to prophesy. If your grace gift is serving, then thrive in serving others well. If you have a grace gift of teaching, then be actively teaching and training others. If you have a grace gift of encouragement, then use it often to encourage others. If you have the grace gift of giving, to meet the needs of others, then may you prosper in your generosity without any fanfare. If you have the gift of leadership, be passionate about your leadership. And if you have a gift of showing compassion or mercy, then flourish in your cheerful display of compassion. Motivation. A motivated person is a driving force. These are gifts that drive you. Read the definition, is one of the driving forces behind human behavior. It's the desire to act in service of a goal. It keeps you working through a task, determined to succeed when things get tough. So these are the gifts that the Father has given to us as he wills. And I'm going to go through, there are seven of them. And see where you fit, okay? So prophecy, that's the God-given spiritual anointing to serve and strengthen the body of Christ and others by speaking either foretelling or forthtelling timely words from God. A person with the motivational gift of prophecy applies the word of God to a situation. They are driven by a desire to adhere to God's revealed truth. They are known for publicly communicating God's word, using words, messages, or pictures that are specific to the spiritual, physical, or emotional health of the congregation. They have learned to hear the Holy Spirit, and they follow his leading. They have a deep reverence of God. Okay, that's the prophecy gift. Serving or helping gifts. Now you can almost, you know, let's give an example of the prophecy. Steve is a perfect one. That motivates him. Right, Steve? You fit in that category. Serving or helping. This is Eve and Darina. Okay, maybe others too may have it, but they're strong in this area. It's the God-given special anointing to serve and to strengthen the body of Christ by offering others assistance in reaching goals that glorify God and strengthen the body of Christ. A person with a motivational gift of service takes joy in helping others accomplish their goals. Their aptitude is sometimes referred to as a gift that helps or service. People with this gift are driven by a desire to assist others, enjoy and seek out ways to serve behind the scenes, rejoice in the success of others, are often detailed orientated, do not seek recognition for their efforts, and they just say, I just want to help. So you thinking about yourself here? Okay, teaching. The God-given special ability to serve and strengthen the body of Christ by teaching sound doctrine in relevant ways, empowering people to gain a sound and mature spiritual education. A person with a motivational gift of teaching is motivated by a desire for others to learn and grow. Individuals who have this gift are driven by a desire to see others grow in knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Enjoy making the Bible clear and understandable to others. Seek out opportunities to speak biblical insight into daily situations. Often use metaphor, illustration, imagery, story, or other creative means to teach. Recognize a variety of ways to effectively communicate the Word of God, including speaking. That's me. Anybody else have that gift? Dawn. Hers is in the mercy department, too. Okay. Exhortation, encouragement. I think of Sam and Tam when I think of that. And Isabel, Annette, very encouraged. They always try to encourage people. The God-given special anointing to serve and strengthen the body of Christ by helping others live God-centered lives through inspiration, encouragement, counseling, and empowerment. A person with the motivational gifts of exhortation, encouragement is motivated by a desire to lift others up, inspire them to thrive. The Greek for these words is parakletos. It has a broad definition ranging from an admonition to comfort to a persuasive discourse or a strong urging. The heart of this word is to come alongside to aid people with this gift. They are driven to inspire others and impact their lives positively for Christ. Often desire to spur people to overcome difficult life situations. Desire to help coach people to reach their full potential in Christ. Usually are positive, you can do it kind of people who encourage with words and actions. Rejoice in others' success. Anybody feel like that's them? Just acknowledge it. I think Stacy might have that. No? No? Pastor Ed, yeah, he's a good one. Okay. Okay, giving and contributing. The God-given special anointing to serve and strengthen the body of Christ by joyfully supporting and funding various kingdom initiatives through material contributions beyond the tithe. A person with a motivational gift of giving, contributing is motivated by a desire to equip others with tools and resources to accomplish their goals or initiatives. People with this gift are driven to see others rejoice in God's provision, plan and purposely give over and above the 10% tithe in order to see God's kingdom advance, often prefer that their donations remain anonymous or low profile, strategically seek out ways to increase their resources in order to contribute more for God's use, see their resources as tools for God's use, recognize God's ultimate ownership of everything. Now, I'm not going to ask anybody who that is because, and they won't raise their hand and they remain anonymous. Huh? Oh, I thought somebody said something. Okay, leading. The God-given special anointing to serve and strengthen the body of Christ by casting vision, stimulating spiritual growth, applying strategies, and achieving success where God's purposes are concerned. A person with a motivational gift of leading is motivated by a desire to organize people and groups to work together to accomplish more than they could alone. People with this gift are driven to motivate people, both individually and in teams, to work together, achieving goals for God's kingdom, exhibit a tendency towards huge visions for God and ability to inspire others to work towards accomplishing those visions for His glory and to bless others, are naturally drawn into leadership roles, naturally grasp the big picture, are able to let go of responsibility and delegate it to others who are qualified. They identify the shape of others and are able to mobilize them to teamwork. I could think of one here. Anybody fit in that category? And Rodney, too. I thought so. It's okay. Be happy about it. Mercy gift. Oh, boy. The God-given special anointing to serve and strengthen the body of Christ by ministering to those who suffer physically, emotionally, spiritually, or relationally. A person with the motivational gift of showing mercy is motivated by a desire to decrease suffering. Their actions are characterized by love, care, compassion, kindness towards others. People with this gift are driven towards opportunities to practically meet the needs of others, devote significant time in prayer for the needs of others, tend to place the needs of others ahead of their own, grieve with those who grieve, are most fulfilled when visiting people in need in hospitals, nursing homes, prisons, orphanages, villages, or wherever God directs them. Carla. Plus, she's a doctor. I guess you have to have mercy. Right. You would hope that doctors have mercy. Amen. Nurses have mercy. Do you feel like that, Rita? Yeah. Yeah. Figured that. Okay. So those are the gifts from the Father. So let's go and look at the fivefold ministry gifts of Jesus found in Ephesians 4, 7 through 16. Let's look up Ephesians 4. Okay. He says here, and he has generously given each one of us a supernatural grace according to the size of the gift of Christ. This is why he says he ascends into a heavenly heights, taking his many captured ones with him, and the gifts were given to men. He ascended means that he returned to heaven after he had first descended from the heights of heaven, even descending as far as the lowest parts of the earth. The same one who descended is also the one who ascended above the heights of heaven in order to begin the restoration and the fulfillment of all things. I like that. And he has appointed some with grace to be apostles, and some with grace to be prophets, and some with grace to be evangelists, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers. And their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. These grace ministries will function until we all attain oneness into the faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. And finally, we become one into a perfect man with the full dimensions of spiritual maturity and fully developed into the abundance of Christ. And it goes on. I'll stop there. Okay. Ephesians 4:11 lists five gifts which are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. These five are unique. They are governing ministry gifts given to people who are called to the ministry leadership within the global and local church. Their job is to build and equip the church for the works of ministry so the church will be mature. They love the church. They have to love the church. They are sound in their approach in biblical doctrine. They will work as a team with others. And a good leader is a team player. The office of apostle is a God-given special calling and anointing to serve and strengthen the body of Christ by launching and leading new ministry ventures which advance God's purpose and expand his kingdom. The original Greek meaning of the word is sent one with orders, literally one sent with authority or an ambassador. An apostle may or may not be the lead authority in a local church. People with this gifts are visionaries and see the big picture. They have a unique calling to start new endeavors as directed by God, most often churches. They willingly work hard to see churches mature and reach their full potential for God. They are often called to oversee multiple churches or ministries. They are often have their sights on and travel to the nations. They are known to welcome risky new challenges and encounter many hardships. They are known to operate in the supernatural. Can you think of anybody that you sense is an apostle? Huh? Chuck Pierce? Dennis Rainier? Okay. That's good. Okay. Next is the office of a prophet, which is different than the gift of prophecy. Now, in contrast to the Old Testament prophets, the New Testament prophet did not exist until Jesus ascended on high, making the Old Testament model obsolete. One of the root words for prophet is to make known one's thoughts, to declare. Therefore, the prophet makes known and declares the thoughts of God in both forthtelling and foretelling. The New Testament prophet operates in a God-given special calling and anointing to serve and strengthen the body of Christ by offering messages from God that comfort, encourage, guide, warn, or reveal sin in a way that leads to repentance and spiritual growth. A prophet may or may not be the lead authority in a local church. The people with this gift are recognized by the church for communicating God's word through a variety of means. They have God-given spiritual vision for the church. They share strong biblical convictions to challenge others. They are able and willing to apply church discipline and correction for false teaching. They have spiritual experiences such as audible voices, angelic visitations, visions, dreams. They passionately desire others to hear God's voice and to know God's heart. And you give an example of a prophet, today's prophet. Chuck Pierce, prophet, apostle. Anybody else? They can, yes. Now, I know Mike Fontenot, he used to come. He was in an office of a prophet. And a lot of you did know him. He passed away years ago.
How about the person you played the sermon from?
Oh, Fram, Michael Fram. I'm not sure if he's an evangelist or a prophet, only because his gifting may be in a prophecy. Well, he brought a prophetic message, yes. Doesn't make him a prophet because he may have a strong gift in prophecy. So I'm not sure. Robin Bullock, some people say he's a prophet. Anyone else? Who? Rick Joyner. Okay. Manuel Johnson. Some may know, not know. Okay. Anybody that we know? Anybody? The only one I could think of is Mike Fontenot. That ever came here that was in the off? Oh, Dennis Rainier. Okay. Yeah. Okay, the office of evangelist. Okay, the God-given special calling and anointing to serve and strengthen the body of Christ towards evangelism. The evangelist has a unique endowment to share the love of Christ in such a way that it draws people to respond by receiving God's free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. The evangelist may or may not be the lead authority in a local church. People with this gift looks for ways to build relational bridges with non-believers. Sense when a person or a geographical region is open to Christ's message. Frequently lead people to faith in Jesus. Encourage the body of Christ to focus on, pray for, and have a heart for reaching the lost. Equip the church how to share a coherent salvation message. Now, who do we have that's definitely an event? Rob Radosti. Dean Braxton. Yes, definitely. See, these are good examples. Anyone else? Smith Wigglesworth was an evangelist. Billy Graham was an evangelist. Okay. So you're getting the picture. We're trying to give you examples so you get the picture of what these people. Who? Reinhard Bonnke. That's a good one. Okay. Mario Murillo, definitely. Yep. Good example. Okay. All right, the office of the pastor shepherd, the God-given special calling and anointing to serve and strengthen the body of Christ by taking spiritual responsibility for a group of believers and equipping them to live Christ-centered lives. In the Strong's Concordance, pastor has this definition. The tasks of a Near Eastern shepherd were to watch for enemies trying to attack the sheep. Uh-huh. To defend the sheep from the attackers, to heal the wounded and the sick sheep, to find and save lost or trapped sheep, to love them, sharing their lives, and so earning their trust. The shepherd pastor may or may not be the lead authority in a local church. The people with this gift are driven to help others reach their full maturity as believers in Christ. Have a heart to lead and care for community of believers, desire for people to walk in their calling and gifts, watch over the church as a shepherd watches over sheep, meeting the needs of others, giving their time to help with spiritual issues, are diligent to know the state of the flock. Man, yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, the office of the teacher, the God-given special calling and anointing to serve and strengthen the body of Christ towards the study of scriptures and sound biblical doctrine. The teacher has a unique ability to share his love for scriptures in a way that inspires biblical knowledge and education. The teacher has the ability to make difficult passages understandable and relevant to peoples in their culture. The teacher may or may not be the lead authority in a local church. The people with this gift are driven by a passion for biblical truth, are given to hours in study of scripture in order to best apply its principles, use a variety of ways to effectively communicate the word of God, desire to teach and equip the church how to study the Bible using sound exegesis, are capable teachers and enjoy making the Bible clear, relevant, I can't talk, and understandable to others. Who's an example of a teacher? Pastor Ed, yeah. Joyce Myers. How about Perry Stone? I like Perry Stone. Bill Winston. Bill Winston, he's good too. They like to study the word and take it apart. And this is gifts. This is the office of a teacher. Yeah, these are offices that Jesus put in place. These callings, you can't put yourself in those, okay? You got to be definitely called by God. And if one tries to be in a specific office they're not supposed to be in, God help them. Because it's bad. It doesn't work. It causes a lot of problems. Okay, the last division of the gifts are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are in three categories. Let's read 1 Corinthians 12:7. And now these are for all people. And don't forget the motivational gifts, too. Those you need to recognize. Maybe you start to understand yourself. Oh, that's why I do that. Oh, okay. You guys with me? Okay, good. I know, that's why I can only go so far. What time is it? Oh, okay. All right, good. All right. You know what? Let me just briefly go over these and we'll start them next week. Okay, because if I start it now, sometimes we forget, and then I'll have to review, and then, you know. So let me just tell you what we're going to be into. The nine gifts are in three categories, okay? The first is the category of the gift of revelation, which consists of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. The next category is the gifts of inspiration or the vocal gifts, and that's the gift of prophecy, various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And the third one category is the power gifts. That's the gift of faith, gift of healing, and the gift of the working of miracles. Okay, so we'll go much deeper into those so they're really understood, so we could really understand what our gifts are, and everybody has at least one or more. Okay? Is that good? Yep. All right. So, glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. We thank you, Father. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you as Jesus left this earth, Lord. He gave us gifts, so we're not powerless. He gave us the Holy Spirit for all of us to be empowered, and he gave us all gifts, Lord. Father gave us motivational gifts. So, Lord, I thank you as you unwrap all these gifts, Lord, that we will discover who we are. This is all a part of who we are and who you want us to be and how to use our gifts. And, Lord, I thank you and praise you that we'll have the boldness, and they're supposed to be used out of the four walls of this place so we could reach the unsaved and the prodigals and the ones that left the church for, you know, whatever reason, or they don't go to church anymore. They need hope. And the only hope we can give them is Jesus, and you're sending us out as ambassadors for you, fully equipped, being totally filled in the Holy Spirit and with your power. So, Lord, we just thank you and praise you that even this week, Lord, that things will just start opening up for us with favor, Lord, as we go through our everyday lives, wherever we're at, that we could be a vessel for you, Lord, that you would open up a door of opportunity to express you to that person. So, Lord, we thank you for the salvations, the healings, the deliverances, and even just teaching something that maybe someone just didn't understand that they needed to know. So, Lord, we thank you for truth. So, Lord, we give you all the praise and all the for everything, Lord. We just praise you and we thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.